Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is. Thanks for joining me today here. Day after election. And again, I did a little special thing on accepting, half the people are not going to be happy. We don't even know who's going to be happy or unhappy, but we've got a good idea. But anyway, it's at newlife.com just to help you deal with disappointment or whatever might happen today. I am not disappointed in the guests that we have here, the co-hosts for me. It is Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
It's so great to be with you both. It's so fun to be in the room with you.
I know. We need to do this more.
I know. And we are respecting the social distancing here, but, it's just kumbaya to have the three of us on today.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I love that, and I hope that somebody would like to talk with us. And if so, the phone number is 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Guys, on this theme of some people are going to be disappointed, I did do a video on that, but let's talk about the fact that today people are having an idea, a pretty good idea, who's going to win, who's not. What's some good advice for somebody that it doesn't look like it's going to turn out your way? What would you say?
The first thing that I had to do today was just listen to my body and be kind to myself. It's so weird when things like this happen and we're put in situations where we don't know what's going to happen. And if you've ever experienced trauma of any kind or have any wounds, what happens is your body stores those bad feelings. And so I kind of woke up today and I literally felt like I wanted to just put the blanket back over my head and not get up. But I knew I needed to get up. I knew I was going to be here with you today, and I'm going to be with John later today in a situation. I'm doing a community thing. And so I had to kind of put my bravery on. But the thing that I said to myself is, no matter what happens, God is on the throne and he's going to be with us and with me through this, even though, God's got a plan, and his plan is already on the books. It's like, but we may have some feelings that are uncomfortable, and we are having feelings that are uncomfortable. So don't lie to yourself about it. Just be honest about it, and then get some comfort. I got an extra few hugs today because I just needed them. What are your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I agree with what Sherry's saying, Steve. When people ask me that question, I have always three answers. The first is if name it to tame it, meaning don't not to feel your feelings. Say I'm upset, scared, angry, or whatever. If you name it, the neurology says your emotional intensity will go down. The second is you got to be heard. H-E-A-R-D, not heard like herd immunity, H-E-A-R-D. You got to be heard. You got to just tell somebody, I'm overwhelmed, disappointed, sad, mad, frustrated, because the way we're built, that brings anxiety down too, just to know somebody hears us. And the third thing is, like Sherry said about the sovereignty of God, I pray 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on him. He hasn't fallen off of his chair, so got to put it on him.
And let's just say that you thought that whoever is going to win is not a good person. Well, has God ever used an evil ruler before
accomplish King Nebuchadnezzar?
His, Babylon Assyria. And how about an evil ruler to crucify Jesus so we could all be in heaven? God understands He knows how to use those, and sometimes he puts them in power. If you look at the Old Testament, you'll see the examples, to teach some folks a lesson. Interesting. You can trust that God's got it under control.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yep, we are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend. And of course, John has the Townsend Institute, and it's an amazing place where you could, I mean, John and Henry and just John, they have a way of bringing in biblical truth into leadership, into counseling, and it's unique to them. Nobody else does it the way they do.
We have an announcement, Steve.
Okay, what is it?
If you have a master's and you've been interested in the Institute, but you thought, I've already got a master's, we're going to have a PhD in counseling this coming February.
Are you kidding me?
If it's time for your PhD and you're a client, a counselor or whatever, we've got a full PhD in counselor education supervision. You can get licensed. You can do research. You can teach on a faculty level.
Amazing. So if you've been waiting to get your doctorate, and you know what I love about your institute? It's so integrated. I know two people who've gone through your program and graduated, and they're good folks. They're so equipped. You know, they're right now working they're very equipped, and they loved going through your program. They're doing their internships right now.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's a great program, but to have a doctorate?
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
I know. That's good.
Do you count any experience or maybe books written or anything like that?
We have one for radio hosts who have written 100 books, and we do a deal with them, basically. So,
deal. I love that. I'm looking for a deal. All right, let's go do a deal here with Mike from Madison, Wisconsin, and. He listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. Mike, how you doing today? What's going on?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
So my dilemma is I have a daughter that's 16 now, and a couple years ago she's a pretty happy kid, and a couple years ago she started getting depressed and stuff, and we noticed her cutting, and we tried to get out why she was doing that, and she kind of put it off, never gave us a straight answer. And this a couple weeks ago, she was at my daughter's house, older daughter, and noticed she was cutting her chest.
Oh, gosh.
And my wife was finally able to get out of her what was going on. And what we found out is that her brother, when we were gone from the house, he's a couple years older from her, was basically sexually assaulting her
for
a couple years.
How old is she and how old is he when that happened? Just curious.
Well, she would have been between 12 and 14, and he would have been 14 to 16.
And so what did you do about that?
Well, we knew he had a porn issue because he started stealing cell phones, and we put blocking software on it, and he'd get other ones. So we sent him the Teen Challenge for a year and a half, hoping that would straighten him out, which... supposedly, you know, but he never came clean on this part. And we're trying to, we do got our daughter in counseling now. We did find a Christian counselor working with her. I mean, the good part is she finally is letting this pressure off of her because it was destroying her. But we don't know how to deal with him. Now he is out of the house. He's in the military now. We confronted him on it. Of course, he says, I don't remember anything like that. Well, if you did sexual assault, you would know.
Well, of course you would. So did the therapist you sent her to, did that therapist report what happened to the authorities?
Yeah, well, she just had her first counseling session last week, and she said she would have to report it.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I said, that's fine.
She's a good therapist,
you know,
though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and she said, you know, he is out of the house now, so what the state will do with it, I don't know.
Right.
We contacted our son, we talked to him a couple weeks ago, because he is in the military, And we told him he was not allowed, if he gets to leave, he could not stay at our house.
No, you've done everything right, and it's in the right hands, and the authorities are going to do what they do. The wheels are turning. So tell us the question that we can help you with.
Well, I don't know how to reconcile with my son. I mean, I don't know how. I told him that he has to come clean on this stuff, and he has to somehow make, I guess we're waiting for him probably to make steps to confess this stuff, and I don't know what to do. We just leave him go and wait for him to eventually come clean, and just, you know, basically just own him until he comes clean, because we don't know where to turn with him, because he sure ain't going to admit it.
Yeah.
Well, and he,
we hate, we, you know,
he
we
might
hate to lose that too, because
he might, Mike, but this is what I'm hearing, and this is devastating, is there's actually two victims here.
Yeah.
Your daughter is a victim of sexual violation. Your son is a victim of the porn industry. And, you know, there's a lot of parents right now, Mike, that are shaking in their boots to hear your story, because they've got kids just like you. And so many of them don't know what to do when they discover porn on their kids' devices, right? You do the best to try to make choices. But like crack cocaine, these kids are getting a hold of it, and they're watching it, and they lose their way. They start acting out what they've actually seen on that screen. All those videos, they start acting it out with their sisters, with friends, with other kids at school.
Well, let me just say this. Sherry, I like what you said. I think there are actually three victims or four. The parents are traumatized when they discover this kind of thing, and they're a victim of the porn industry and the lack of restraint on the part of their son, and it's a nightmare for them, and it's tragic. And I just want to say this. The daughter, your daughter, has to be your priority. She has to be the priority. That doesn't mean that you throw him out of
your life. She's more vulnerable.
But she needs to look back on this to be able to say that mom and dad stood by me. They didn't prevent him from having consequences of this, which you didn't. You told her, hey, go tell that therapist freely, knowing that it would need to report it. I don't think it's time for reconciliation with your son. You're angry at him. He hasn't admitted it. I think he needs to see and feel some of that, just the disappointment, the hurt, the pain that you personally are in, and that he has caused and is still in denial over. John, what else do you think there?
Mike, there's a couple of things that I think need to happen. One is that the wheels need to turn. The wheels of the Child Protective Services, the wheels of the military, they have a relationship with each other. There's going to be some sort of investigation on what's true. And so you need to be patient there and let that happen. And if I were you, I would talk to the therapist about how you can stay on top of that so you don't feel helpless and not involved. So, you know, what stage are they at? Are they talking? Are they going to talk to my son? When are they going to talk to their son? Get as much info as you can. That will help you a great deal. In the interim, while you're waiting for those wheels, because you may get a confession out of your son. These things happen. I mean, you say, well, there's no way he'll tell the truth. That's just not true. Mm-hmm. With the right kind of pressure and the right kind of safety, people tell the truth. So don't give up hope that he'll ever confess. He could. But I think what I would tell him was, I don't know if he's planning to move back home or anything, but I think that's not okay.
He's actually in for 5 years. He just left in March, so he's going to be home for a long time.
Okay, I think I would keep then you're in touch with text, email, Zoom, phone. That's the only and the occasional visit. Is that it?
Yeah, but after he confirmed him, he ain't talking now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's not going to talk at all to us now, and he's basically destroyed his relationship with his other sisters.
Okay, well, that just simplifies everything, I'm sorry to say. I mean, I'm kind of glad to say in a way, because I think what you need to do is just let him do that. Let him withdraw. And, you know, I would just let him know, we're going to keep the relationship sort of on hold until we hear more information. And then at some point, here's the hope, Mike, at some point there can be a meeting with you and him, not with your daughter yet, but with you and him, you and your wife and him, and a professional. And a professional that can say, here's what the investigation says, and, you know, Jim, you know, we have it down that you have done these things, and see what he does with that. So the hope is a confrontation with somebody that knows how to facilitate difficult things, and then you're going to know what to do based on your son's repentance or based on your son's denial.
And you make a good point, John. So often these things happen, and it's the kind of things. You know how I started today, Mike, where I said I just wanted to pull the covers over my head? Sometimes these things happen, and we're there in the crisis, but then we kind of let it go on the back burner. And this is, you're in this one for the long haul with your son, because he's going to need treatment. He's going to need to face his porn addiction. And in the military, it's very common for them to look at porn and act out there. And so he's probably, you know, the shame that he's going to be feeling over this, he's going to continue to feed on that. But at some point, and I've seen men in my office, you all have seen men, we've seen men at Every Man's Battle, John, you know guys like this, that when they get serious, and family members can help them, right? Because he's going to probably meet somebody someday and want to get married. But then all of a sudden, do we keep the secret or do we say, no, we need to look at this. You know, you've got a problem. And intervention can happen at any point along the way. So don't let this one go. Stay the course.
Yep.
Yeah, and one final thing. There is not just counseling for your daughter, but there's curriculum that is actual treatment that, you know, people have figured it out. Here's a journey that they need to go through for a year. And there's that same kind of treatment, different but same, for your son. So I would just be sure that, and there are people that are trained to handle these situations, I would just be sure the person your daughter is with and how whatever happens with your son.
Yes.
You really are, you're an advocate for not just going to a counselor or not just punishing him, but treatment for both. And I just hope and pray it was not, you know, I hope it was the least kind of inappropriateness possible, not the worst. But your daughter, more than anything else, needs to know that you're there for her, you know. You believe her, and you really feel for her. I'm so sorry that this has happened to you.
She is, honestly, she's done, Bobby, about an 80% change around just by confessing it and getting the pressure off her.
It does help. Yep.
You know, all right, well, hold on. You name it, you tame it.
Yeah. I'm going to send you a couple of things. One is Healing is a Choice, and I'll send you Sherry's book, Intimate Deception.
Great book.
Hope that that will help you there. Anybody else interested in resources, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that is the number, 1-800-NEWLIFE, or you go to newlife.com. Let's go back to the phones. And how about we talk with, let's talk with Lucy from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hi, Lucy. How are you today?
Hi, Steve.
Hi there.
Yeah, my name is Lucy. I'm an alcoholic.
Wonderful.
I'm 62 years old.
Okay.
We accept you and we love you. And hi, Lucy.
Hi. So how do I avoid a emotional relapse during these strange political times? Not to concentrate on the politicalness. These are strange times. And I have, by the grace of God, let me see, almost 25 years of sobriety from alcohol and overusing some dry goods, you know, prescription meds.
Sure, sure. Are you tempted to use again, or are you just really wanting to not succumb to emotional defeat or something like that?
Yeah, I don't want to throw the TV out the window or yell at my sister.
I think at the end of the break, Lucy, we need to go into why the election is triggering like it's triggering. It's it's got our attention, but it may be triggering something in Lucy that we can help with, so you'll have more self-control.
We'll talk about that right after this, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And John, we're talking here with Lucy, and you wondered if maybe this was impacting her differently than it was impacting others. You want to just go with that for a little bit?
Yeah. Lucy, just the fact that you're so brave to call, and you're so vulnerable in the beginning about your dependencies on substances and stuff, but the framing of your question was the election is really affecting you. So I think we need to hear how it's affecting you to help. What's it doing to you, Lucy?
Well, I've always been since I did something really terrible. I really changed. Like even in the marrow of my bones seems to have changed. And I've been a single issue voter since then. And I've been married. I was always pro life, but I made a terrible mistake, and I was stupid and young and vulnerable.
Sure.
But it's changed like at a cellular level my body, and you know, it's a huge issue with me, pro life. I'm looking at the bracelet that I wear all the time that says pro life that I got at the county fair. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's something. Remember Dr. Dobson, James Dobson?
We know him well and love him.
Well, me too. I've hugged him. He used to come to the National Day of Prayer when it was in Lafayette Park. And he's helped me so much because I went through the stage where I couldn't even look at fried eggs on a breakfast plate or a menu because it reminded me of the terrible mistake that I made and I'll never recover from.
Hey, but, Lucy? Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Did you happen to listen to the program yesterday?
Part of it, yeah, part of it was going in the background because I was doing something. What did they say yesterday?
I would just suggest that you listen to it because I talked about, we're never political, but I talked about voting based on your values, and I talked about why that's not a bad thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then someone called and asked about racism. Why isn't that a bigger issue than life? And I explained that abortion is a racism issue in that 13% of the birth of child rearing, birthing age, 13% of the population are black women, and yet 464 out of every 1,000 abortions are black children. It's the largest killer of it. So I would listen to that because I think we gave some hope there. But just know this, that a lot of people feel the way you do, and it taps into something with you the way it taps in with me. And it's important that you're not dealing with that alone. And you love Dr. Dobson. Well, one of the things that he did is he helped women's resource centers to start healing those who go ahead and have an abortion. It's not just about a baby being saved or a mother, but it's about ongoing healing. And I would just suggest that you ask about a little Bible study. There's a Bible study. It's a video series that so many of the pregnancy centers do for people just like you going through exactly what you're going through. Could really, really help you because then now you're out of isolation. You're with people that understand what you've been through, and they're not going to shame you at all. You never have to worry about that.
It's as if, Lucy, this decision, your abortion, it's a wound, right? Mm-hmm. It's a painful thing that happened. It's a decision you made a long time ago. And so this vote that you've made each year when you're a single issue vote, it's almost like that vote equals redemption. Like if you can somehow secure our nation, then somehow there's somewhat of a redemption for what you chose. But what I'm wondering, and it's so normal, I woke up this morning feeling like you did, because I grew up in a house where a lot of chaos was there. And so my body, just like you said, holds in your body. My body held chaos in the same way. And there's a rumble in the house. It's going to awaken any wound I've ever had that has chaos attached to it. And so this is really normal. But when it comes up like this, we want to control it. We try to control it, right? That's like, all right, I'm going to yell at my sister because I'm angry that I can't control what the nation is voting on. I want to throw the TV out, which is kind of control over not wanting to see what's going on.
Yeah, you don't feel helpless.
Right. And yet,
You
know what, girl? Do you believe that you have been fully forgiven for that choice that you made?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you?
But my body still.
Yeah.
I still, half of my brain isn't functioning anymore.
I know.
You know, it's like denial and horrible shame.
So
it's
can
way
you?
Beyond the bounds.
I get it. Can you speak to your body on this break, and we'll come back in a minute? Can you speak to your body right now, and say this to it? Hey, body. I know when I made that decision a long time ago, you and I weren't on the same page. Mm. But I want you to know you're free from what happened to you. God has redeemed you. But today, you're rumbling, and I want you to know I see you, I love you, I care for you, I honor you, and you've made a lot of good decisions over these last number of years. Every time you voted, you've made a good decision, body. Your feet have walked there. You've taken me there. My heart has beaten to save kids for years. Tell it the truth about where you are today.
We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We've been talking with Lucy, and Lucy, I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I hope that that's going to help you in the process of healing. I want you to hold on. Let's see if we can find a counselor for you that could just, or maybe a resource center, you could finish up the healing process there. I know for me, it was very, very tempting to carry shame throughout my life, even when I had resolved it. And every time I go to a pregnancy center and tell the story and at a fundraiser, it's still it's painful to go back over that. I don't think I'll ever, it will never be easy. But, you know, I think just as in the case of Lucy, she's presented some truth here, that you can't just go off and have an abortion and go about your business. It has an impact on your life. And so for that, I'm really grateful, Lucy, that you brought this up, and I hope something we've said has been helpful to you. Well, a lot of people know the man. Some know the legend. It's Larry Sonnenberg. He's right there, and so glad that when he retired from professional baseball, he came right here to help us. Larry, how you doing?
Yeah, especially the Hall of Fame stuff and everything.
That, pitching arm and
incredible.
Pitch
the
for
surgery
us.
Was tough. It's okay.
Well, go ahead and pitch for us.
All right. Couple things. Every man's battle is this weekend.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Guys, you know who you are. You need to attend. There's so many of you struggling. It's a one full day Zoom phone call. We took out all the hurdles. You can make this happen. Give us a call and register.
Well, and, you know, they know who they are, but they don't fully
there
know
you
who
go.
They are.
There you
but
go.
We will help them come to understand.
And the women they're with know who they are. And there's a lot of them listening to Larry right now, too.
That's right.
Yeah, and let me add to that. So just like our story about Mike, right, and this family, if you know that your husband's struggling with porn, the consequences far outweigh, if you don't have intervention, the consequences can be really bad, right? So doing this is a step in the right direction to turn everything around.
We offer
Proverbs 10:10 is, when you wink at wrong, you cause trouble, but an open rebuke brings lasting peace. Larry, you'd probably like to rebuke me for sitting in the
closet. I think we need to just keep talking over Larry the whole
time.
Go
ahead, Larry.
Larry who?
Sorry about that.
My other thought.
Yeah. We often hear people say, I'm not ready, or we'll hear a wife say, he's not ready yet, or when he's ready, he'll come. And I just want to challenge that. It's probably an excuse, and it's more likely that they just don't want to get out of their comfort zone. They're afraid. They're going to have to do something tough, and they've never done that before. So I want guys to think about that and come to this workshop. Also, in thinking about where our country is right now, you know, all the uncertainty, all the polarization, the election politics, we got to get to a place where we can be in disagreement and still love and respect one another. And it made me think of an attendee at one of our Every Man's Battles last year. His name was Raj, and he was a non-Christian. I think he was Hindu. And he was theologically, he didn't agree with us, but he came and he attended the workshop, and it changed him. He didn't leave his faith to become a Christian then, but he respected our faith. He leaned into what we had for him, and he even decided to support New Life financially.
Wow.
And he still does. And then he brought his wife to our Intimacy and Marriage workshop. So my request here, let me just kind of wrap it up. It's kind of jumbled, but there's three things. Guys, you know you need to come to this workshop. So swallow, do the tough thing, call us, and sign up today. Also, to our general listenership, please give us support. It's been a crazy year. We need your support. God has blessed and honored us in ways we didn't expect. We're still making it. Club New Life was a big way that he honored us. You guys held us in it when it was really tough. So if you could join Club New Life or just make a gift, that'd be great. Last thing is, in light and in honor of our good friend Raj, I would say, look at Steve's acceptance message online. Today we had a devotional by staff member Bethany on surrendering. And surrender that hostility, that anger, that not wanting to get along with the person on the other side of the fence, and not let this grab hold of you and make it the major thing. Sherry said it. God's got this. Doesn't matter who's going to be in office, we're okay.
And you know, it's so interesting. Sometimes that hostility, those feelings can be in your own home when you're experiencing porn, right? And getting the guys to ask them to come. I thought of, here you are, John, the boundary master. What would be a way that a wife today could have a boundary in place to protect her home, to protect her family, instead of being at war with her husband about the porn issue? How might she be able to ask or put a boundary down? What does that sound like? So often women struggle with what that sounds like.
Yeah, it starts with vulnerability and not judgment, and you just say, I love you, but I can't feel you now because of this, and I want you. So that's vulnerability. And then if there's no response, no phone call or whatever we do to get them in there, then it's that I'm going to be forced to take some actions because you're tearing up me and our family. And it might be that I ask you to leave. A lot of guys come because somebody said, you're going to have to leave, or somebody's going to have to leave, because you have to understand, porn is an attachment to something wrong. But these guys are attached to their families, too, and to their wives. And so to say, you might not be having my warmth, my love, my listening, my acceptance, a lot of times guys, the dependency will go, that's even worse. And so that helps. You're not being mean by doing
that. Yeah, so great.
I remember so many things that you said when we did radio together. But I think one of the things that stuck with me, in addition to your chocolate chip cookie recipe, was when you would say, not all hurt is harmful. Mm. And the wife that thinks, I don't want to cause more pain, that might make him do more or leave me or whatever.
Yep.
I'm telling you, it's not harmful to produce some pain there that just might motivate him to get the change that he needs to do.
Yep.
1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if we can help you. We'd love to get some scholarships for Every Man's Battle. If you could help us, please do think about joining Club New Life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Jackie. Hi, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Doing okay. How could we help today? What's going on with you?
Well, I was just trying to figure out, something came to my mind. I've been praying for the Lord to help me with anxiety for the atmosphere that's around nowadays. And I've been to the hospital 3 times with anxiety attacks since 2016. I have kind of nipped it in the butt by not listening to a lot of things. But I am an African-American who grew up in the South. I'm 74 years old. And the rhetoric that comes from people reminds me so much of what I heard from Bo Connors and George Wallace and those, and it kind of ticks me off. Is there? Well, I'm just trusting the Lord, but it does. It's like trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think? What are you? What would be helpful for her? Who wouldn't be hurt?
You know, it's so interesting, Jackie, you said it's like trauma, but it is trauma. Mm. You know, that saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words never hurt me, that is hogwash.
Exactly.
It's so wrong. Mm-hmm. And I am sorry for how we as a nation and as a culture have neglected to see how the words that have been spoken over you as a black woman or your family members or communities have harmed you so deeply. And I've got to thank you for your courage to just even bring that awareness today. I got a girlfriend of mine who's, her name is Andrea. And you know what she's done? And I love what you're doing for us today, Jackie. She's schooled me. Not scolded me, but schooled me. Because I asked her, I said, can you help me understand the fear and anxiety you're feeling right now with what's happening in the rioting? And I heard things that I had never heard before, and they were so personal. And so letting us know, letting people know, having those conversations are what help heal the trauma, because it gives you a voice over what you didn't have voice about a long time ago.
All
right, we're
going to
take
really
a break
helpful.
Here.
And I want to talk about control a bit with you, Jackie, on the way back, on the way in.
All right, we'll take this break. Come right back. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and just before we go here, by the way, everybody hold on. We got another program after this. Jackie, I've told this story before, but the first alcoholic I ever heard speak was Gertrude Bahana. She was raised in the Waldorf Astoria. She was a multimillionaire, the child of a multimillionaire. She was arrogant. She looked down on everybody, and then she finally recovered from her alcoholism and moved into a mansion, and she had drunks laying all over the floor, drying out. And she said, I walked through all these drunk people drying out, and I realized I no longer look down on people. And then she said this, but I had one more battle to fight, and that was to no longer look down on people who look down on people. I heard that. I thought, okay, that's right. We can't be arrogant when we are right and hurt. And I just want to challenge you to take that journey, because there are going to be little people. If it wasn't race, it would be something else. And for some people, it is something else. There'll be little people that need to put somebody down or classify somebody as inferior to feel better about themselves. You can't change that. But you can sure heal from that and forgive. And then you're the big winner. Guys, anything else that we want to say here that might be helpful?
John wanted to talk about control.
Okay, let's talk about control, John.
Jackie, you still with us?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You've had a history of anxiety attacks, right?
Three.
You've had three. That's
when they told me what it was.
Okay.
I asked the Lord to help me with it, and I haven't had one since then. Because I put it, you know, and I do forgive. I, even George Wallace, when he came on TV and asked for the forgiveness, I forgave.
Okay.
That's huge.
You're doing it all right spiritually. I want to give you a lot of credit for that, for what you've been through. I love what Sherry said. But Jackie, I want to add another thing to this. Anxiety is an emotion about control. When we feel in control of our lives, of the things that we can control, we feel happy, we feel empowered, we feel energy.
Mm-hmm.
When we feel like something is out of our control that we should be controlling, we feel anxious. God gave us anxiety to protect us. And so people that call a radio show and say, yeah, I've been having some anxiety about all this mess, it generally means one of two things. Now, I'm going to give you a little homework assignment. I want you to take a piece of paper and take I'm holding up a little piece of paper for our little camera here, but you're not on camera. And you just kind of like, you take a vertical line, and you cut that piece of paper in half vertically. And then you do a little title at the top. And in the top, on the left side, I want you to write, things I cannot control. And on the right side, I want you to write, things I can control. And I want Jackie to spend a little time on the things she cannot control and things she can control, because that's where anxiety comes from. It's when we try to control the things we cannot control, elections or whatever, and we don't take control of things we can control, prayer, being busy, being productive, getting health. And when you get it back in line, I'm going to stop controlling the things I can't control, because God's in charge of those. That's His line. Mm-hmm. That left side is the Lord's line, and the right side is Jackie's line. Anxiety tends to decrease. So I want you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Call the show back in a few days and let us know how you're doing.
Well, I want to let you know that that's what I've done. I didn't know it was what I was supposed to do, but that's what I have done.
Well, you need to be on the show with us. You're a psychologist.
but I just wanted to find out and to let people know that there are things like these that people have had traumas like that, and I have I kind of am concerned about Christians that don't take the time to understand, and I thank God for the people in my church that have said, can I talk with you?
Wow.
And I am so willing to do it, you know, because you're right, it does minister to me.
I'm about out of time, Jackie, and I'm sorry, but let me send
Steve's
you.
Trying to control that side of the of the show here.
I am. Guys, what would be a good book to send her? I want to send her a great one. I'm working on a book with Ron Archer, who hosted the show Monday, and it's called It's Not All Black and White, and I'm writing about white lies, and he's writing about black excuses so that we can all understand each other better, just like you're saying. So I can't wait for you to have a copy of that, but it's not finished yet.
How about Dr. Amen's book on worry and anxiety, that new one that he has coming out?
It's good. Yeah. Good. Did I give you the quote? Corey Ten Boom said, don't worry about tomorrow. It's taking all of the pressure of tomorrow and putting it on top of the pressure of today. Mm-hmm. And that's just too much pressure. And I thought that was really good. She's got a future, or she did. All right, 1-800. New Life is the phone number. newlife.com. Now, if you haven't heard us talk about brains, boundaries, battles in the Bible, I want you to hear what John is going to be talking about, because he and Dr. Henry Cloud are doing the boundaries part, Dr. Amon's doing the brain part, I'm doing the battles, and Sheila Walsh is going to do some teaching about all of that out of the Bible. But John, what are you going to be, just encourage people to come be part of this, what are you going to be sharing with folks?
I guess I should have my notes open to know the topic, shouldn't I, Steve?
Well, I think it has to do with the difficulty.
Oh, there it is.
Of setting the
problem with boundaries and hard boundaries in hard situations.
Yeah. Well, if it was easy, you wouldn't need to know about it.
I know. Boundaries. I always tell people, boundaries are like a bar of soap. When you're struggling with them, you just can't seem to grip it. They just keep popping out of your hands, right? It's like a slippery.
Yep. The problem with boundaries is going to be about why we don't do them, and because they take a little bit of effort, and we have all sorts of emotional reasons why not to, because fears of rejection, for example, fears that we'll be unloved, fears that will hurt people. So we're going to deal with, we're going to get those hard things out of the way, so people go, oh, it's hard, but it's still doable. It's not impossible. We'll solve that. And then hard boundaries and hard situations. This has to do with a little more than I took the toy out of my 2-year-old's hand and put him in timeout for 2 minutes. That's not a hard boundary. Boundaries is when there's really hard stuff, like a relationship is alienated, or there's abuse, or violence, or trauma, where God wants to come down and teach his kids a lesson, and he wants to use that for them to bring redemption. We're going to talk about how to handle it in the tough times. So you've got the tools. It's going to be a tool. I think the whole day, actually, it's going to be a toolkit day for people that want to be equipped for life, Steve.
Amen. John, you have a new fan. My son Solomon just finished Boundaries. Read the whole thing.
No way.
Absolutely did. And really encouraged me to finally read it. No, I'm just kidding. But he loved it, and it was there were some moments where he would just stop and say, and he'd read the phrase out loud to us. So I can't encourage people.
Steve, can I just chat with Solomon sometime? I'd love to see. How old is he now?
He is 14, taller than me.
I would love to see how a 14-year-old brain, and he's very bright anyway, and I know he's very spiritually inclined. I would love to know his experience and learn from him about how he's seen that material. Could he and I talk sometime?
Well, we've kind of set a boundary between him and a psychologist. I think he would absolutely love that.
We'll
make that happen.
All right, let's do it.
What's really cool, it's a new version, right? It's a best-selling book, but added all the stuff for technology, and it wasn't in there. So if you have a book of boundaries that's on your shelf, get a new one, because you need to have the new information.
It's got a whole digital chapter.
I know.
Yeah. Hold on. If you're on the line here, we've got another program to do right now. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need help, 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us on the next program. Thanks for being here. Thanks, John. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.